Welcome to the e-commerce growth show, brought to you by Segmentify, the fast, lean learning machine, the fastest learning, most revenue-generating personalization platform for e-commerce.
Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the e-commerce growth show. You'll be really pleased to know that I got myself some brownie points over the weekend with my other boss. Most of the guys will know who I'm talking about. And it was her birthday, so I actually thought about it properly this time. And there was this picture that she really loved by this artist called Maria van Tintelen. And I managed to get her to commission kind of a similar piece of work that she did that she really liked. And so birthday morning came down, she went to the lounge and she saw this picture that I'd had commissioned in the lounge. So she was like super chuffed. And because she couldn't go back to Ireland to see her parents, which she normally does over this period, as you know, for obvious reasons. So, and then we went down to Charmouth. You guys would be familiar with that place. It's quite a famous fossil hunting beach. I took the kids down and mucked about a bit, tried to socially distance fossil hunting, which wasn't too bad, actually. And I'm now staring at the collection of fossils in front of me. Got some calcite, a couple of ammonites, usual sort of thing. So, yeah, all in all, good weekend. But I hope you guys are well. And as you know, this series is all about bringing fresh thought leadership to you from various experts around the world. And now today, got a fantastic chat with a guy called Kevin Urrutia. And he's actually based out of New York City and runs a e-commerce agency there called Voy Media. He's a former Silicon Valley software programmer and actually runs three businesses. A very clever lad. I'm really looking forward to speaking to him. And so he started with a company called Made Sailors, which is a cleaning business, which is still going now. And that kind of runs itself. And he's also got a luxury travel brand, which actually I think is in the UK as well, called Chester Travels. So that he's the man behind that. And obviously he's got Voy Media as well. So yeah, really, really talented guy. He's a podcaster too. And he hosts a show called the Digital Marketing Fast Lane. So check that out as well. Gives you loads of insight into the world of marketing. And I was also told that it's his birthday today, 31 years young. So happy birthday, Kevin.
Thank you. Thanks, Phil.
Hey, not at all. Welcome to the show, man.
Awesome. Yeah, super excited to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. So why don't we start then? I mean, obviously, you know, running three businesses, I remember when I was chatting to you before, it's like, I'm just so in awe of people like yourselves who managed to do this stuff. Why don't you tell the guys how your entrepreneurial journey began?
Yeah, so my journey began, so I grew up in New York, so Long Island. Basically, yeah. How it began was growing up, me and my brother, we would sort of do a lot of like construction work with my dad. And then growing up, we would basically just do this like at night or weekends. Like it's kind of like a thing that we were just, like if we're not at school or studying, we would just be doing this. So like we didn't have any like a chance to like kind of go out or play with friends because the time we're just like, hey, like you guys need to work, and my parents needed money, so then my dad had like a side business just doing things like on the weekends at night. And I guess that's sort of like, at least for me, that's sort of where that entrepreneurial sort of journey began, because like I was growing up with it and my parents just did it without sort of like, my dad didn't speak any English, he just kind of just did it. And then for me, that was kind of like the overarching like, hey, just go and do it. And that sort of this also led into me kind of not wanting to do stuff with my hands, because I was like, this is a lot of hard labor. And I was like, I don't want to do this. So then I was like, So I was like, I need to study and go to college, because like, I see the pain. I'm like, I'm like 14 or 15 just doing construction work. I was like, this is not what I want my life to be. So that's sort of when I started doing more computer stuff, and I was like playing games, and I was like, oh, like, I really love like this game stuff. Like it's pretty interesting how you could program something at that time. Like I had like a Dell Compact that I just got with like dial up internet. And I was like so fascinated by that. And I was like, whoa, this is so cool. And I picked up like HTML programming books. I picked up like C++ books. And then at that time I was reading like TechCrunch. I'm not sure if you know like TechCrunch. Like, that like website was like, I was addicted to it. It's like kind of when you discover something for the first time, you're just like, I gotta read the next article. I gotta read the next article.
Wow. Like, amazing.
That was what made me like sort of saying like, oh wow, I need to do a startup. And at that time, like, you know, startups, like everybody's raising tons and tons of money. And I was like, the dream was to go out to Silicon Valley, right? So that was something that I've always had in the back of my mind. So I went to college and I did computer science, because that's sort of like, oh, this is what I want to do. And it sort of
Beautiful.
It sort of does that. And then after college, I moved out to California for the first time. I've never been there. I just went out there and didn't know anybody, but that sort of dream starting my own thing. And the question I always get is like, oh, like, were you scared? And I was like, yes, of course I was scared. But then like my experience growing up was like very, like my parents came here when they're like 16 or 17, not knowing English. And I was like, okay, like, why am I scared to go to a country, a place inside the United States?
Yeah.
I have a degree and this is the dream I want, right? Where they came here because like they had to come, right? They needed a better life. So that sort of mentality has always kind of like been with me where like I get scared, but then I just like look back at my family experience. I'm just like, oh, like their situation is scarier. Like I'm doing this because I want to do it. So that's always kind of driven me to do things. And going to Silicon Valley, that invigorated my like experience to do my own company. When I was there, it was like the mecca, like everything I read on programming, tech people, everybody's talking about startups. Like I was gross in that startup space. So like every weekend I was competing on like hackathons, like 48 hour marathons of coding. We even won like startup weekend in San Francisco. And then we went out to San Diego to pitch like Qualcomm Ventures for an app that we made. It was like the thing I wanted. And it was like so different than back in Long Island in New York, where it was like just a different experience. But then when I was working there, I was working at mint.com, and then I was going to work for another company called Zarly. And that Zarly was like a true startup experience, like working with super smart people. From like 8 to 10 p.m. at night. That was like at that age, that's what I wanted. I was like, this is like exactly what I want. And that sort of made me even more excited to do my own thing. And then I was there for about 2 years actually. And then I came back home, and then that's when I kind of started Maid Sailors, my first cleaning company. I wanted to do something. And the reason why I started that cleaning company was because at Zarly, we're like a kind of like a home services provider where you feel like you're a cleaner, you're a plumber, or you're like a, you know, some sort of like, you know, some sort of painter, right? You can list your on there. And on there, I was like seeing that a lot of the cleaners had a lot of business because it's like very recurring. And I was like, and at that time, I was learning about SEO and sort of like marketing in general. Because in between that sort of journey, I was building apps and websites. But my biggest issue was that I could never get customers. I was like, oh, cool. Like, I can build a cool app, because that's what I was taught in like reading all these articles. Like, hey, if you have a cool app, people will come magically find you. And I realized that was not it. So I had to like go into like learn what is SEO, what is like product market fit, how do you know if someone wants your stuff? And then I was like, oh, wow, like cleaning is like an industry that's obviously very old. But like, there's so much demand for it, especially when I was like, I was like, oh, whoa, like there's so much demand. And I'm looking at like the results on Google, and I'm like, oh, wow, these websites are like really old. Like, you can't book online, you can't call to book. And it's like, you need to go to the person's home to do a price evaluation. And I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. I just want to be able to, so using my tech experience, I want someone to book online and we'll give you a flat rate pricing. And 90% of the time will be right. 10% of the time it'll be wrong, but that will sort of help the overall process of.
That's so cool though, isn't it? That's so cool how I was just going to ask you actually, like, was there a niche or something? But you've just answered the question. So you found a niche, you realized that the cleaning was really in demand. And then you looked at the kind of historic kind of, you know, stature of those companies and thought, hold on a minute, I can do this so much better. And then of course you then brought your tech into that space. And I'm just looking at the website now and it's got all the latest tech on it. And so that's so cool. That's so cool. So how did it expand out, you know, to the other ones? How did it then go to, you know, Voy Media and the other business you were talking about?
So basically I was doing the Maid company for a good, for my first year, I was telling people I was working from home. Literally the first year was just learning how to get traffic. Like, how do you find people to use your services? How do you do SEO? How do you deal with customer service? How do you, like, everything you need to learn about a business? What is email marketing? What is MailChimp? How do you send email newsletters? I remember in the beginning, like, you're scared to send your first newsletter because, like, oh my God, are people going to spam, like, you know, email you back and they're pissed off, right? That first time is always the scariest. And then eventually you're like, oh, wow, this is
actually nobody cares now.
And now it's like you're pressing that button like 10 times. MailChimp's like, you're sending too much. So that was like a good first year of like truly learning marketing. And then that's when I realized, it's great that I'm living all these products. And I realized like the marketing is so important of all this stuff. It doesn't matter what product you have. Like, how do you bring customers? Number one thing for any business. And then I was reading all these books. But basically, at that time, I hired my first employee. And then he was working with me in my home in Long Island. And then to help with that sort of like customer service aspect of it, of like booking cleanings, confirming cleanings. Eventually we grew to another guy joined us. And then at that time we were working in my apartment. I then moved to New York City. So I was living in the village with my brother. And then at that time I had 3 employees. So we had an apartment in East Village, 2 apartment, super small. And we had 3 full-time employees working in my apartment every single day for a year and a half. And at the time we were interviewing maids in my like small living room. So like in a couch of 3, we had like 3 or 4 maids interviewing to sort of do the cleaning, right? Because if people know cleaning space, it's like, it's a very high turnover. So you need like tons and tons of
volume.
You're interviewing people every single week. Just because. So that was like crazy, just learning all that stuff, interviewing, firing, like firing people was a weird thing to me. Like at that time, I was 25, right? And I was just like, okay, like how do I fire somebody, right? Like how do I? And I always tell people, like at least the weird thing for me was like a lot of these people were just much older than me. So when they look at me, they're just like, oh, like you're like young, like how come you're my boss, right? It's like that weird mentality.
So that
was like something like people was like, oh, what issues you ever overcome? Something you ever overcome. I'm like, hey, like I don't doesn't matter that I'm younger than you. I'm like, still need to listen to me, right? It's like,
No, completely. No, I love it. I love all this. And do you know what I love about it the most? Actually, is just, you know, just having this little chat now where you're so open about the kind of journey. For me, that alone, I know this isn't the kind of main subject for today, right? But what I love about it is that there's anybody out there that's kind of like, even as an aside, what we're talking about is just even remotely, you know, thinking about doing their own thing or is cautious or fearful or anything like that. I mean, the overarching message from me from what you're saying so far is just like, do you know what? Give it a go. Go for it, you know? And I've heard that so many times where it's great that you say that you're honest enough to say that actually, yeah, I was scared, man. But, you know, I got out there and I gave it a go and look kind of where you are now. You didn't know that, but you had to make that step to get to that point. And I remember when I was talking to Jimmy, it's exactly the same. He was running his hat business. He didn't know either. You know, he just like carefully tested and measured the model. He made a hat. You know, he gave it to some mates. He said, what do you reckon? And then, you know, obviously check that podcast out. But the story is literally it grew a multi-million business out of it, a lot like you've been doing, you know, with the things you're doing. So I love that. I mean, very briefly, tell the guys then how Chester Travels came about and then Voy Media, just so they get a flavor for this multiple, you know, serial entrepreneur. It was fantastic.
Yeah. So basically how Chester came out was that we were doing the maid company for a few years. And at that time, we're just like thinking like any business, I tell people like, you eventually just get bored or tired of doing it. And I just got bored and tired. I was like, what are you doing cleaning like this whole, my whole like next few years? It's honestly, it's like sometimes you just be honest with yourself. Like if at a while, like, you just go home and you're just like, oh my God, like I don't want to be doing this anymore. So then you're like, I think sometimes like founders, like people are like, oh, just do it. It's making good money. I'm like, yes, I like doing it. But like, mentally not stimulating, right?
Absolutely. It's not just about money, right? I mean, it's very interesting you say that, because literally, I mean, I haven't released it yet, but there was another podcast with a guy from Florida who's exactly the same situation, built a successful business, basically got bored, was looking for purpose, and ended up actually traveling, you know, for 2 years to recalibrate and find out actually what is it, because this isn't going to be the answer for me. This business is not the answer, and neither is it me traveling around in an RV for 2 years is not giving me the fulfillment. So he ended up doing multiple businesses like you're talking about. So it's very interesting that you're saying exactly the same thing.
So basically you're both looking for the next thing, and at that time like FBA was a really big thing, like Amazon Fulfillment by Amazon, and my partner actually in the Voy Media, Wilson, was doing this himself. So he was like traveling the world, and sort of he was also an entrepreneur. He was selling like online, and then he was telling me, he's like, oh Kevin, like I'm doing this thing, and he's like telling me how much he's making. I was like, whoa, you're making so much money. And he's like, how big is your team? And he's like, oh, it's just me. And I'm just like doing like, I'm sure it's like 3-4 hours a week. And I'm like, oh my God, like, I need to like do this thing, right?
Brilliant.
So then like, that's why I always think it's helpful, like at least for listeners, like to talk to other entrepreneurs or people with other ideas, because you probably heard it, Phil, like people are like, oh, I don't want to tell people my ideas, they're going to steal it. I'm like, it's like, you can tell people everybody your ideas, like that way they know like you're entrepreneurs and they're telling you what they're doing, how they're doing things. And
absolutely.
And so Wilson was the one that introduced me to this thing. And then I researched everything about it. And like anything, like you're skeptical, right? Like, oh, like, is this true? But then I was like, hey, like, I know Wilson. And like, he's doing it. Like, I could do it too. So then that's sort of like another mentality thing I can tell people. It's like, hey, if you see someone doing it, and like, you know them, like, hey, you could do it too. Like, and people was like, another big thing is like, there's a famous quote by Steve Jobs that I always like and think about, which is like, everything around you is made by no one so smarter than you. Right. And it's like, hey, like the world is created by people just like you that just went out there and did it. So then I was like, I want to do this FBA thing. And then with Wilson's help, he helped me found my first product. So in between Chester, there's another outdoor gear company that we did. And then Wilson helped me found that product. So we did that for a year and a half. And then we learned everything about FBA. Okay, what mistakes we made, how to ship your inventory. I've been to China 3 times, go to the Canton Fair to talk to our suppliers. And that sort of relationship and relationship building really helped us learn the business. And then we kind of learned what we wanted to do, another e-commerce company. And then we learned from the outdoor gear company what mistakes we made, such as, this is a product that everybody had, so it's very easy to copy. Amazon, there's so many Me Too products that if it's a small, they call it like a small package, anybody can get them where the shipping is pretty cheap. So, and also the value is like less than $60, which is kind of like a good starter for anybody. But at that time, we're just like, we need another product that's bigger where people just can't copy you. And we also want something that's actually custom. And that's when we're realizing, there's a luggage space that's building up. And then that is when we started to start thinking about a luggage company. And we loved it because everything else I just said, which is a large item, meaning that it's hard to ship. So you actually need to understand how to ship things overseas, such through air freight. Not air freight is like really expensive, but like through the boat. And then we had the connections from our previous company. And then we also had the connections from our factories where we didn't have to go to like Alibaba or AliExpress where those prices are like 30-40% higher. We had our old manufacturing contact that we were able to locate another one that just made luggages. And what's great about them was that they only spoke Chinese. So then they knew you had to like had a way in order to get the best prices. So using that experience, we took about 6 months developing Chester. And what was great about that is because you needed capital to start it. So mold was like about 150K just for the mold. Whereas like with our other outdoor gear company, it was like, hey, here's this product. Can you guys get into it, right? It's like, okay, cool. So the barrier to entry was much higher. And that's why, that was the reason why we wanted it, because obviously Chester didn't start in the beginning, like because we didn't have cash experience.
That's a very good point.
We had the stair step. I call it the stair step approach. Like you're just like, okay, you build a business, you learn a little bit, next business, you build up some cash. Then after, basically with Chester, we started off with just our carry-on luggage. And the reason people is like, so now if you look at our website, chestertravels.com, we have all sizes. For the first 2 years, we could only sell carry-on because we didn't have enough money to make the other ones. I thought they were like, hey, we just didn't have enough money, right? So like, so with like, if people do, obviously with e-commerce, like it's just a cash flow issue where like, okay, you spend like 200K on a PO and then the money is just like, is like overseas on your boat. Like you're just, it's like not doing anything.
For sure. Wow, that's so amazing. I love that the way it was a step change, you know, like you started with the business, you got some cash flow, you got some capital, and then interestingly, then we're able to use that to get over a barrier to entry to perhaps to create that niche that you've now got with that brand. That's so clever. And I think, you know, again, the message I'm getting from this is that, you know, this is a fantastic story for you, and it feels like it's really played to a lot of your strengths. And my overarching sort of thoughts on this are, anybody who wants to try and do this type of thing, you know, make it on their own, go out and you know, get out the boat and sort of push out the boundaries a bit. It sounds like, you know, double down on your own life, double down on your own skills and strengths. You know, is it a language? You know, is it the world you're in? You suddenly sniff out a little niche, or you find an idea, or you're reading something like you're saying on TechCrunch or whatever, and find out what those combinations of things are in your life. And there might just be something there that pops out and goes, hold on a minute, what about that idea? And then, as you say, you don't, like Jimmy said as well, you don't go full on in, you know, and kind of burn everything, but go in with something that's achievable and then work up. And it's great that you've done this. You've done this multiple times. It's fantastic. I mean, obviously, you know, all this stuff we're talking about now is a podcast in itself, to be honest, and we should probably do that at some point. This segues really nicely, though, into the kind of meat and bones of what we were going to touch on today, which was more on the Voy Media side, basically leaning on, obviously, your experience on the front line as well and the brands that you're running. But the main thing to sort of kind of concentrate on in this particular episode was around what you're doing with Voi Media. And the overarching theme is creativity, effectively. Mm-hmm. And it's helping brands to, and generally brands, not retailers, but brands to optimize and accelerate their creativity using content. And I know that when I speak to retailers, I'm sure you're the same, and probably what the main reason why Voi Media is in existence in the first place, is that when I speak to brands, they're like, we know we're weak in content. You know, we know we're weak in building out our content roadmaps and our fresh branding messaging. And of course, that's because they've got so much other nitty-gritty core day-to-day stuff to do. So obviously, talking to you about what you're doing with Voi Media, having found that niche in terms of servicing that side of the business for brands, as we've said in previous episodes, an extension of their team, handling that side of it. Why don't you give us a flavor for what you're doing and the demand for your services that brands are doing in terms of keeping themselves fresh, moving forward, and having the bandwidth to do this stuff with a company like Voi Media?
Yeah, so with Voi Media, kind of something that we've noticed was with Voi Media, we were helping brands with Facebook ads and sort of, you know, essentially just marketing online. And I tell people nowadays, like, Facebook ads are just getting easier and easier to do. Like, Facebook's making it so easy to, like, you know, in a budget and then get sales. So a year ago, we were just really, like, doing a lot of that. Like, we were turning the knobs on, like, the Facebook platform. But now we saw that Facebook was making all these changes that basically essentially made media buying, as in, like, the dials that you switch on Facebook, almost, like, not existing, because, like, they just want to make it easier for small businesses.
Of course. And
then we saw that, like, any business, you have to sort of, like, okay, like, where's your agency headed, right? It's, I always tell people, like, you need to, like, be ahead of the curve, or else, like, your agency's going to die.
They're behind it, yeah.
So then we're like, what's actually helping the businesses and the partners that we're working with? And for us, it was all the performance creatives that we're making for them. And in the beginning, a year ago, we were just taking a lot of their content and making it like direct response, you know, thinking about how it's going to get a user's attention, what's going to make them buy, what's the offer they're selling, what's going to make them click. So we're doing a lot with just taking that content that they had. Then we realized, oh, wow, like, we're seeing like patterns, we're seeing things in here that we want these brands to make, but they just don't have the time or capability. Like, hey, look, we need a new, can you write a new hook for us to use in the ad? And they're like, okay, we'll do it in a week or two. And then they would never do it. So then we would just start doing it ourselves. And I tell people, like, we started doing it ourselves because if performance went down, that means that they would be like, hey guys, you guys are bad. We're like, no, like, we told you we need a new creative, like, to sort of put it in the system. So then we're just like doing our stuff ourselves, because, like, we're realizing that, like, hey, if we can do the creatives and that actual output and all the editing and put in the ad, the clients are happy. All they need to know now is sort of what you're doing and sort of the style, and make sure they're finding brand guidelines. So that's kind of like how we transitioned to this sort of new creative sort of approach to running our agency, where if a brand that's scaling, we are realizing that they just need help with the creative output. And then we're using that to sort of break down to what pieces or components they need. And really kind of here for Voi Media, we think about it like ADA, like AIDA, which is like attention, interest, desire, and action. And that's sort of how we break down a video or creative script for a brand that we're working with, that's sort of scaling up. But yeah, that's kind of like how, and that sort of like led us to, that led us to doing kind of owning that sort of space of content creation for the brands we work with. And then now when they come to us, this is like our USP, saying, hey, we know you need help with creatives, and we know that you're strapped for time. We're going to be taking that over for you, and you're going to get input into sort of what we're making and how we're making it. We're going to say, hey, it's going to be cost effective because obviously we can produce all the content. We're based in New York City, but we had a director, creative coordinator that lives in Slovenia, and we've been able to build out a studio there to keep things cheap. So now customers just need to mail the products to Slovenia, and then we're hiring all the actors there. We're hiring all the studio equipment.
That's amazing. So what? So is this going? Is this sort of video that you're kind of almost planning with the brand, and then you're going away and producing the films or the scripts or the viral stuff, or whatever, and then putting it to YouTube and everything else? Or what does it look like? What does this content? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what it looks like is, so we'll tell brands, like, we'll come up with concepts. Like, hey, these are three, four concepts that we want to sort of hit depending on the angles, right? So let's say you want to do like a big one I see a lot of brands making right now, and that we're doing too, is like comparison angles, like your brand versus another brand, right? So then we'll present to the client this sort of video concept for them where, for example, let's say you're selling soap online, right? Let's say like, hey, here's this soap company and here's another one. And we'll just present like how we're going to present it in a way where you're repositioning the other brand, but also positioning yourself in a better light. And then like that could be through, you know, soap tests, like, you know, stuff like that, right? So we'll say like, hey, this is the concept. Yeah. And then we'll be like, okay, great. And then we'll be like, okay, you need one actor. And then this is a simple video. We really need one actor and then like a table. So like a lot of these concepts, they're not like, we're not like making, we tell them we're not making movies. We want stuff that sells, right? So that's sort of like how we, and then basically when we do this sort of video concept, we'll say then, like, we know for Facebook, for example, that the first 3 seconds are the most important. So when we'll do a hook for that, we'll shoot 3 to 4 different hooks. That way when post-editing, we can then chop it up into many segments that we can then test on Facebook. Because obviously that first hook that we think might work might not work. So then we just want to keep shooting more and more if we're already there for the day shoot. That way the clients know that we're testing. That's about testing multiple things. So then it goes into that sort of ADA concept where each video splits like 4 segments. So then for each segment, we'll at least shoot 3 to 4 different versions of it. That way we can we can make like, you know, a ton of videos.
And does that all go into Facebook or does it go into all sorts of other channels, you know, socially, website, blogs, YouTube, you name it? Where do you distribute this information? How does it get out there, if you like?
Yep. So once we sort of do the post-production, we'll usually run it on Facebook ads, such as Instagram, and then we'll make it for like the 1x1 for Instagram, the 1x1 for Facebook, but also the vertical ones, the 16x9 for like Instagram stories and Facebook stories.
Okay, cool.
And then again, we'll also put it on YouTube because YouTube is like, so these videos are more for like ads, but brands can use them for like their social media if they want. But really for us, we want to be able to push paid traffic behind them to see if they're going to work or not, because we want to know within 2 or 3 days, is this going to give us the return that we're looking for?
That's very interesting. So is this something that a lot of people are doing in terms of creative agency support for brands? Are you quite unique in doing that? Have you found, like you were saying earlier, have you found a niche for this and you're kind of capitalizing on that?
So for at the moment, we're like one of like a few ones that do this where we're combining the paid with the creative performance all in one. Before we were working with like creative agencies that just did the creative, and those are great, but we found out that they didn't know if stuff was good because they never saw the data and the results. Where for us, we're looking at the data in Facebook platform and seeing the video, and then we're saying, hey, this video is actually working, let's make more of this video.
So you're starting to, we're going now back into data, aren't we? We're going back into, how do you prove what you're doing is working? How to make informed decisions on what you're doing going forward? So not only have you got the resources and the creative to take the weight off their team because they're busy doing other stuff, you've then also got the ROI on it. And then you've got almost the navigation in terms of what they should be focusing on and getting the best out of for this area, which is just bang on, isn't it? Because it's exactly what we have to do, you know, with the insights we get off the back of personalization. It's nothing if you can't tell people or they can't show themselves whether things are working, what new things they should do, whether it's, you know, products that are actually having a lot of paid media behind them, or sorry, paid budget behind them, but aren't actually converting. You know, you've got to know that in a snapshot. You've got to know your rock stars. You've got to know the ones that are being seen and not converted because you're wasting your time and placement. You've got to do something else with them. So it's great that there's another thread now on this importance of data, which keeps coming up time and time again.
Yeah, and exactly. I think I'm seeing it more and more where every brand is online, and it's definitely about having a great creative, but making sure that creative performs, because we say like creative means nothing if there's no sales, right? Okay. And back in the day, that was a thing that like people didn't really couldn't measure. Where right now with platforms such as Facebook, Google Ads, Facebook ads, you can measure everything. So why not?
Is it easy to measure it, like literally just out of those platforms, or do you have to do anything clever in terms of, I don't know, investing in some sort of platform to understand that data? Is it all just there for you to see?
Well, basically, we mainly use the Facebook. Facebook has a lot of metrics for videos, like first 3 second views, they have 40% views, click-through rates, and then ROAS. So what we do is we pull all that data, like a data studio report, and then we then will tie that to a creative. And then based on like the data internally, we have like metrics that we know, okay, their attention's less than this, that means it was bad. So then we'll send that to the creative team saying, hey, look, this script that you guys made is bad. We need another one for this week.
Okay. So do you A/B test and stuff as well? I mean, how do you know what, you know, I mean, do you put work and effort into saying, well, you know, what type of message goes to what type of segment? I mean, a lot of the stuff that's in our world, does that cross over into your world as well?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So we'll think about like let's say we're doing like a fishing audience, right? And then like working out audience. And yeah, that messaging will be very different. So we'll be A/B testing like segments and audiences depending on like, you know, what the product is. And then sometimes we'll A/B test just to sort of try to enter a new niche, right? So let's say the product isn't necessarily fishing. Yeah. Okay, let's try some fishing creatives to see, can we penetrate the market, because we just need more customers, right?
So then I'm not actually. I mean, what do you find in terms of the type of company that gets the most value out of what you're doing, in terms of, you know, like being an extension of their team, being heavily reliant on content, or they want to be more reliant on content? Where's the sweet spot for the brand that would really get the most out of what you do from your side?
Usually brands that will get the most out of us are ones that like know their product, they have product market fit, we call it, which is like, hey, this is an item that people want that they're selling initially. And it's definitely not for brand owners that don't know if people want to buy the product yet, or they just like haven't spent the money or time. Usually like we look at other stuff, such as like, you know, do they have like a marketing director or digital marketing manager? Because it's like, makes it much easier for them to understand like their core metrics. And of course, other things we look at are just like, do they know their lifetime value? Do they know their AOV? Stuff like this. If you know that stuff, then you're probably a better fit for us, because you can understand the core of marketing. And it's not like you feel like you spent $100. It's like, hey, how come I didn't get any results back? I'm like, okay.
No, completely. No, I get it. And we're the same in many ways, actually. I mean, when we talk to companies, when we talk to brands, it's often actually more important for a brand that we talk to that's already got a solution, ironically. You might think, oh, somebody's got Nosto, somebody's got Rich Relevance, somebody's got Fresh Relevance, whatever it might be. And I think, oh, no, you know, they've got a solution. Oh, no, we've got to try and dislodge them, blah, 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 et cetera. We actually welcome that, because we know that the only real way to get the next marginal gain or the next element of improvement in that area is to say to a brand that you already know what personalization is. You know what you're trying to get. But there is always a dial that can be tweaked here. Mm-hmm. And so when you know as a brand how important personalization is, how important it is to get the right products in front of the right people at the right time in lightning speed fashion to get that conversion in the moment, then they say, actually, Segmentify, you're telling me that you can do it better than what we've got. And we're like, well, yeah. And they say, well, of course, the argument is going to be, we'll prove it. Well, of course, that's what we want to prove it. So we welcome that, because what we will do is a free split test or a free proof of concept over a, let's say, a 14-day period for that exact reason. How on earth should we expect anybody to spend any money on Segmentify unless we've proven that we can either, you know, improve on a current provider who's already doing what we do? But if we're saying we can do it better, we've got to put the money where the mouth is, and we've got to show them, which is what we do, see, countless times, and make sure that we don't do any kind of, we don't put any barriers in place either. So, for example, nobody now in this day and age wants to be tied into a lengthy contract. Nobody wants to be, you know, have their price suddenly change on them, because ultimately, you know, what we get is, because the team is constantly tweaking and developing and optimizing the platform, a bit like what you were saying earlier around the way that before we started chatting about how you're an extension to the team, how you work with your brands for a long period of time, because you're getting to know the brand and then you're working out ways to optimize how to market them. You know, we're the same. We work on an ongoing basis with our customers to make sure that every single marginal gain in terms of best practice of driving those metrics up is done by our team. And how, you know, and having it within a 30-day monthly rolling contract means that, you know, if we're not on it all the time, there's a risk. And so there's a real proactiveness in the team that enables us to continue driving this forward. So I completely understand that kind of target of company that really needs that sort of next level of content creation and brand awareness is very similar to the kind of brands that we talk to as well, you know?
Yep, exactly. Yeah, like when a brand is problem aware, it's the solution.
Absolutely.
When you have to educate the user on like what like a creative is, then you're like, okay, like then
yeah, an issue. Completely. And I mean, everyone has obviously got their stages in their journey, and we know that there'll be brands that are in that stage of just content is just not there yet. We're still getting the nuts and bolts together. Same as personalization, there might be something where it's just not on the radar yet. There's too many other bigger things to kind of do before. But it's just great to know, where the different solutions sit on the kind of spectrum.
Yeah, and even for me, as a business owner, like as I spend more money and make more money, you just like don't want to be. You want to work with somebody that is an expert. You don't want to be thinking about these things, like so. Yeah. And in the beginning, obviously, like you said before, like when you bootstrap, you're trying to like squeeze every dollar, you know, to like the max. Yeah. But as you're making more money, you're just like, I don't want to think about it. Let me go hire experts such as you guys, like Segmentify, to run this for me because I know they're good. So, they're doing a good job. So, I think it's like absolutely you get bigger. You sort of.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we do have loads of conversations around the content side as well, interestingly. And, again, a lot of brands I talk to, in fact, I was just talking to a company this morning, one of our customers, and, I asked the question about content, and they know it's important, because they are differentiating through, for example, sustainable, ethnicity, ethical type products, and serving different segments in a different way. And like you were saying earlier, the only way you can do that really is by really getting that content right, so that it's reflecting and building trust with each and every segment that you know about. And so I was talking about shoppable content, for example, where you might have a blog and it's talking about a new range. There's a couple of things you might want to do. You might want to actually serve up, a widget of product recommendations within a blog that then obviously, neatens up that customer journey. Should it be looking at a certain product, they can then go and buy it direct from that blog. Or whether it's actually serving a different segment, a different page entirely, built with a tool like Styler, where there's an integration and then you can obviously, whip up different content pages for different segments, and then send obviously different segments, different products, and actually a different look and feel of the entire page if you want, very, very swiftly. So it's very, very important area, but like you say, there is a journey to be had in terms of when that can be deployed. But products like Styler, companies like Voy Media, platforms like Segmentify are trying to make it more accessible to be able to do that because you're an extension of their team and it's very quick to do this stuff. So I think it's very interesting to hear what you're doing, Kevin,
We're here to sort of like, we've been working with brands that like are big companies, and like we work with, like, obviously people know a big brand that we work with right now that we're doing all their marketing and sort of like all this is like Lacoste, run all their stuff for paid, and this is exactly what we're doing, right? So
absolutely. Well, I mean, it's been a fantastic chat. I love all of the entrepreneurial stuff that we talked about, and obviously I love to hear what's going on in the terms of this creative and how important it is and how you found that niche in terms of helping brands to keep fresh and expand their awareness in a speedy way, with an extra part of their team. If the guys are interested in talking to you about any of the stuff they've heard today, about your journey, yourself, anything to do with the business side, and also obviously to do with the travel side and the Made Sailor side, and also obviously the Voy Media side. What's the best way for them to look you up?
The best way is I'm always on LinkedIn. That's probably, I think, you're connected. But LinkedIn is a great spot. And then just Kevin at Voy Media, VOYMEDIA.com. Yeah. I get a lot of just email me there with like the podcast. Okay. So that's a great
way. Fantastic. Nice one. Thank you, Kevin. And I love to ask this, my sort of final closing question for you really is, out of all the stuff that we've talked today that which has been like really great, why don't you just kind of pick one thing for the guys to go away with, a sort of a golden nugget of information that they can take away from today's chat?
I think the way that people need to think about it is, it's like creativity is there's we talk about creativity as in the videos being creative, but just kind of we're talking before, like, you're creative in your own way. That could be the way you start your business, the way you're sort of organizing your furniture. Like, there's so much creativity that you just need to think about and use that to your advantage. I think people back then were like, oh, like, I'm not creative type. I my background's computer science, but I'm doing videos creative now. So it's, I think everybody's creative in a way. You just need to untap it or unlock it. And really for us, we have a really great creative director that it just makes it welcoming to talk about these ideas. And it's like very therapeutic in a way of just sharing stuff. And And that's what I love about this sort of media buying plus creative, because you can actually test these things out and see, hey, this creative concept works. So, but in general, I tell people, like, everybody's creative, you just got to unlock it.
I love that. It's just a message to say, hey, let's embrace creativity in whatever guise it comes out, right?
Exactly.
That's fantastic. Anyway, thank you so much, Kevin. And I'm sure we'll be talking again soon about some extra topics and so on that I've loved today. And I hope the listeners have enjoyed listening to it as well. So it just remains for me to say thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And if you haven't done so already, pop over to segmentify.com/podcast to get all the podcasts that are there, including Kevin's will be there shortly. And leave a review on Apple Player if that's how you like to listen, or follow us on Spotify, whatever works for you. And if you have any questions or want to be involved, or there's any topics you want us to cover, email me anytime at phil@segmentify.com. Thanks so much again, everyone. Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks so much for having me.
No problem. And we look forward to hearing to speaking to you guys again soon.
Put us to the test and let us prove we can drive more revenue for you. Sign up for a completely free proof of concept or split test against your current provider. Set up and optimized by our team within a few days at segmentify.com/demo.